Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Throughout the history of the human race, God has chosen certain individuals to do special work in his plans to develop a closer relationship with each of his people. During the time of the biblical flood that covered the earth, God chose Noah to re-establish the human race after the waters had receded. In time, God made Abraham the father of a chosen people, the Israelites or Jews. Joseph was the person through whom God formed the Israelite nation when a ruler of Egypt. As Joseph ruled in power over Egypt, he fulfilled God's promise of provision to all people by preventing everyone from starving to death. For God to use Joseph in this way, only one thing was necessary. Joseph had to die to himself and humble himself to God's purposes and plans. And every person who wants to do good works for their beloved Father must die to themselves, to self-interest and selfish desires. In return, they must submit themselves to Jesus Christ's forgiveness, cleansing and lordship. In John's Gospel chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain."
Joseph was 30 years old when Pharaoh appointed him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Even as God had shown Pharaoh in his dreams, the next 7 years were very fruitful. During this time, Joseph went throughout the land gathering up grain, and he stored the grain in the cities against the 7 lean years which were to come. After 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of dearth and famine began, and soon all the land of Egypt was famished. Thanks to Joseph, the people of Egypt had bread to eat. But in the lands beyond Egypt's borders, the famine grew more widespread and terrible month by month. Even in Canaan, the land of Joseph's birth, there was bitter want and hunger. Seeing much suffering everywhere about him, Jacob called together his sons and said to them,
"My sons, we shall all die of hunger unless we get food. I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. I want you to go to Egypt and buy food for us."
"You want all of us to go, Father?"
"All except Benjamin. Now here's what you're to do. Take plenty of money and 10 of our strongest donkeys."
So Joseph's 10 brothers went to Egypt. Being strangers, they were brought before Joseph, so that he might determine whether they might have food, and if so, how much. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not know him.
In chapters 42 to 45 of Genesis, much detail is given about what was said and by whom. Joseph knew what he was doing when he saw his brothers and decided to treat them in a testing way. He wanted to find out if his brothers had changed from being jealous and unkind to him. Back when Joseph had seen them last, the brothers were in charge, but now it was Joseph who held all the control and he wanted to test their characters. There's an old English saying, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Even people who don't go to church are known to quote it. But in reality, it's found twice in the Bible. The first time the quote, "Be sure your sins will find you out," is used is in Numbers chapter 32. At the time, Moses was instructing the children of Israel before they crossed the Jordan River and they went to the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. 2 tribes wanted to remain in the land that they'd conquered on the eastern side of the Jordan River. This land was part of the land God had promised to Abraham. Moses had to insist that the fighters from those 2 tribes went with the warriors from the other 10 tribes to the battle in Canaan. If they didn't, they wouldn't be allowed to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Instead, these 2 tribes would have had to accept smaller parcels of land in Canaan. Moses agreed to their request for the eastern settlement arrangements, but he also warned them sternly, "Do what you've promised, or you will be sinning against the Lord, and your sin will find you out. In Proverbs chapter 28, the Bible also says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper." A man in America once left his father's body unidentified and unclaimed in a morgue for a year. During that time, the son kept using his father's pension and social security payments. But by the end of the year, the son was found out. He pleaded guilty and was sent to prison for identity theft and stealing. We have to ask, was his sin worth it? It would have been far better for the son to have been honest and correctly fixed up his father's affairs when his father had died. The same principle applies to us, just as it was true for Joseph's brothers too. Joseph's brothers had concealed their sins against Joseph from their father for many years. However, there are many ways of concealing our sins than by simply hiding it from others. We can excuse it, blame others for what we've done, or give it a new name, like a sickness of some sort for a time. However, we can never hide our sins from God. What exactly is sin? The basis for all sin is selfishness and rebellion against God's rulership over us. It's the supreme ingratitude toward the one to whom we owe everything, including life itself. If we don't preach about the seriousness of sin and God's judgment for it, we cannot then present Jesus Christ as the Saviour from sin and the coming wrath of God's judgment. While in this world, Christians are never out of danger of sinning. Believers in Christ need to know that we have a deadly enemy called Satan, whom we are always in spiritual warfare with in this life. His big mission in this world is to tempt believers in Christ to do things against what God has said in his book, the Bible. When a person believes that Jesus Christ died for their sin, they repent of all the bad things that they've thought, said, and done in the past, and they ask for Jesus' forgiveness. Because all people have been born into a sinful condition from day one, no one can get themselves out of being a sinner. However, being saved only comes by believing that Jesus Christ has paid their penalty in full and God's anger against sin is satisfied. Jesus is the only way to heaven. No other gods, like the ones the Egyptians served, could help them to be free of their sin debt before their Creator God. The ongoing work of God's Holy Spirit after someone converts to Christianity is to transform these believers into Christ's likeness over time. The ongoing work of Satan and his demons, however, is to fight God and bring Christians down into sin and disrepute as often as they can. Is it possible to defeat Satan? To answer this, firstly we need to know what Satan's methods of operation are. If believers see him coming, he knows he'll be rejected. So instead, Satan often uses deceitfulness. People can even come into Christian churches looking like believers, but in reality, they are like wolves sent from Satan himself to entangle believers in sin again, the very thing that Jesus had saved them from. Experience and discernment through prayer are needed to identify such people. Over time, Satan's wolves have weakened the church in an effort to destroy it. When it comes to spiritual warfare, many Christians are largely ignorant of the battle that they live in each day, and many are unwilling to take up their weapons to defeat Satan and keep him at bay. If Satan can get a foothold in a believer's life, he'll use that person as well to work against God's ways. Satan will do whatever he can to pull down the Bible's teaching and bring it to ridicule, both in the church and in a defeated Christian's life. Can you imagine your spiritual life as a building with many doors? Each door opens into your soul and needs to be kept shut to keep out the enemy. Satan and his team of demons are battling you in this invisible war that all Christians are fighting in for the rest of our earthly lives. There's a door for anger and another for bitterness. You can make up your own list of things that have a door, like envy, greed, hatred, and many more. Each of these doors need to be bolted securely to stop Satan from entering your life. Start tracking your own weaknesses. Is it when you're tired that you lose your temper, or is it when you're rather hungry and need food? Get to know such simple things about yourself because this means that you can have a strategy in place for minimizing bad reactions when you're physically and mentally weak. Remember that Satan is a defeated foe. No matter how many battles he wins, in the very end, he is already beaten by the Lord Jesus himself. One day, he'll have to admit that Jesus is the Son of God and must submit to Jesus' authority. In the beginning, Satan was created a most beautiful angel with great responsibility in heaven, but pride got the better of him. Did you know that angels had a choice of free will just as people do? When Satan fell into sin, he took one third of all the angels in heaven with him. These angels then became Satan's evil spirits and demons. All the knowledge Satan learnt in heaven, he took to establish his own kingdom of darkness. However, Satan's desire to replace God was, and still is, totally unrealistic and unachievable. Nevertheless, Satan has tried hard and consistently to gather as many people into rebellion against God as possible. This is a form of stealing from God, and Satan uses people to accomplish his plans here on earth. The temptation of pride comes to us in many ways, and we need to examine ourselves for traces of pride through our knowledge, position, achievements, or possessions. Any pride in you will help Satan to further his goals. Satan also uses deception and questioning authority. That's what he used on Eve in the Garden of Eden. The same is true of abortion. God said in the Ten Commandments not to murder, but the satanic version of that is every baby should be a wanted baby. When people accept, they are well on the way to support the killing of unwanted babies and ultimately murderers. God said to honor marriage, but Satan asks, doesn't God want people to be happy? Unhappy people think that when problems arise in their marriage, they should get a divorce and start again with someone else. Satan's big attack against the Bible starts with everything in the universe making itself out of nothing, as the theory of evolution teaches. Satan has scientists claiming that the creation of the world that God did in 6 days is just a batch of unproven myths. But God says it's important what you believe. If you call the Creator God a liar, then be sure that your sin of unbelief will one day be exposed. Satan tries to get people to listen to his lies about there being no hell either. His deceitful suggestion is that a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell. There are many more things that Satan tries to do to change people's opinions away from God's ordained standards and cause a compromise that seems more tolerant among sinful people. However, being tolerant of everyone's behavior includes all types of sexual perversion, but oddly excludes godly living as per the pattern and example set out in the scriptures. Tolerant people of anything and everything are very intolerant of those who pray in public in Jesus' name and profess to God's lordship in their life. Satan is also aware of the socially acceptable sins in each culture. These sins have the greatest long-term negative impact on us, our families, and ultimately the body of Christ. Negative impacts cause conflict in our day-to-day lives through things like a critical spirit, an unforgiving attitude, or seeking self-promotion. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 prayed for unity together between the believers and a oneness with God. Discerning believers see these things and should get together on their knees before God and start praying. God answers such prayers, and Satan loses that battle. We must remain ever watchful against the deceptions that Satan is keen to use against the church, so that its members are stripped of the power of the gospel. Christians are to resist the devil and flee from temptation. If we don't do this, we're in league with Satan, and we're allowing him to use us against other Christians. Remember to check that all the doors of our soul are securely locked against Satan's entry, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you which ones are not. As believers in Christ, we must fill our minds with the truths of God's Word and build our lives on those truths every day. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.